Turns out China's economy is doing better than expected. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're coming to you live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Now, it seems like every time we do a story on China's economy, there's never really anything good to say. But today, we've got some positive numbers. Its economy actually grew by 5.3% in the first quarter of the year when you compare it to the same time last year. And that GDP figure beat expectations. Let's ask the BBC's Zhao De Silva to explain. Hello.
Hello.
GDP, a lot better than expected. What's behind it?
This is definitely welcome news for China's policymakers. That data seems to show the country is on track to meet the government's target of 5% growth this year, a goal that, by the way, observers and even officials themselves admitted will not be easy to achieve. But Beijing has unveiled some fiscal and monetary measures to try and set the country back on the recovery track. It's again focusing on infrastructure spending as well as high-tech manufacturing. And this GDP growth figure of 5.3% seems to hint that the strategy is paying off.
And does it show in any way that China's economy is doing better? Because I know the property sector isn't doing very well, but are there other parts of the economy that are improving?
Actually, you know, other data released today is a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, retail sales growth, which is, of course, a gauge of consumer sentiment in China, actually fell to 3.1%. Industrial output was also disappointing, so factories not doing so well either. And more importantly, property investment has continued to fall, along with home prices, which fell at the fastest pace for more than 8 years in March. This seems to show that at least two of the big challenges faced by the Chinese economy are far from over. That's the weakness in the consumer sentiment and the continued downturn in the property sector, which, of course, raises doubts as to whether that economic growth we were talking about is really sustainable. Doubts that, by the way, were raised just last week by the credit ratings agency Fitch, which cut its outlook for China.
All right, the BBC's Zhao De Silva in Singapore. Thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now it's our favourite bit, the numbers. Japan's currency fell past 154 yen to the dollar for the first time since 1990, and the FTSE 100 packaging giant DS Smith has agreed to a $7.2 billion takeover by US rival International Paper, which will now seek a secondary listing on the London Stock Exchange. Now, here's a fact for you. It takes 53 million gallons of water for a ship to pass the Panama Canal, which is one of the world's busiest trade routes. Recently, it's had to restrict the amount of ships going through its locks because of drought. But now, more ships will be allowed through every day from May. The BBC's Leonardo Rocha has more.
The Panama Canal, linking the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific, accounts for 40% of all U.S. container traffic. It also provides a key link between Asia, the West Coast of the Americas, and Europe. The canal consists of a system of locks fed by an artificial lake and local rivers. Water levels had fallen low, forcing the Panamanian authorities to cut traffic by one-third.
Leonardo Rocha reporting. Let's talk about Colombia. It was once avoided by tourists because of armed conflict there. Now it's a hotspot for digital nomads since the pandemic. This has boosted the local economy, but also raised living costs, pricing some people out. BBC's Catherine Ellis reports from the city of Medellin.
Colombia, a country full of music, biodiversity, coffee, and increasingly digital nomads. The country has recently soared in popularity with remote workers from around the world, wanting to enjoy a different way of life while not giving up their incomes. Eleanor Hughes from New Zealand is one of them.
I wanted to come here and dance more salsa here and just happened to be able to do that with my job.
Rian Rout, who works for a US ceramics company in New Orleans, says there are many things that attracted her to Colombia.
The culture, the food, the kindness of the people, it's completely different than anything that I've experienced in the States.
Colombia's second biggest city, Medellin, with its leafy suburbs, cable cars, and relatively low cost of living, is now the second most popular place in Latin America for digital nomads, according to the remote worker website Nomad List. Once dubbed the murder capital of the world in the early 90s and associated with narcotics trafficking and the infamous drug lord Pablo Escobar, the city has undergone a momentous transformation. Fruit seller Carlos Acosta says more foreigners means more business.
Some of them are great customers, good people who buy a lot. Things have improved a little with these people.
One study by consultancy firm Breakthrough estimates around 8,300 digital nomads are arriving in Medellin each month, helped in part by a renewable two-year digital nomad visa introduced in 2022. Uber driver Henri Muriel says he's benefited hugely.
They make up 70% of business for me, these people from abroad. Their arrival is good because if more arrive, the economy is better.
But some landlords now prefer to rent to foreigners who are willing to pay more than locals, pushing up prices in some areas by as much as 80%.
When digital nomads start to come in, the market starts to be more constrained.
Juan Guillermo Yunda is a professor in urban and regional planning at Colombia's Pontifical Javerian University. He says that in Medellin, we're seeing a distinct type of gentrification.
More a super gentrification that is not displacing the lower income population as happens in cities in the United States and Europe, but is displacing more kind of middle upper income families that traditionally used to live in these areas.
Cristina Guerrero has been looking for a new home for weeks without any luck.
The rent here in Medellin has increased exponentially. Sometimes there are apartments that you see and say, no, this isn't worth that much.
Despite rising rents, Medellin and Colombia has gone from no-go zone to one of the most desirable digital nomad destinations in the world, drawing in people like Brianne Rout.
I am absolutely in love with the mountains, the beaches, the hot, the cold. It has absolutely everything to offer.
Brianne says she's not planning on leaving anytime soon, and given the digital nomad visa is renewable, she might not have to. In Medellin, Colombia, I'm the BBC's Catherine Ellis for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.